benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening
afternoon.
To WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. My scripture is Matthew 27, 33 through 35, 28th chapter, 5th through 6th verse. My text is Matthew 27th chapter, 35th verse, 28th chapter, 5th through 6th verse, which states, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. That they came to a place called Golgotha, near adjoining to Jerusalem, probably the common place of execution. If Jesus had had a house of his own in Jerusalem, probably for his greater disgrace, they would have crucified him before his own front door. But now in the same place where criminals were crucified to the justice of the government was our Lord Jesus sacrificed to the justice of God. Some think that it was called the place of a skull because it was the common carnal house where the bones and skulls of dead men were laid together out of the way, lest people should touch them and be defiled thereby. Here lay the trophies of death's victory over multitudes of the children of men. And when by dying Christ would destroy death, he added this circumstance of honor to his victory, that he triumphed over death upon his own dunghill. At Golgotha they crucified him, nailed his hands and feet to the cross, and then reared it up and him hanging on it. For so the manner of the Romans was to crucify. Let our hearts be touched with the feeling of that exquisite pain which our blessed Savior now endured, and let us look upon him who was thus pierced and mourned. Was ever sorrow like unto his sorrow? And when we behold what manner of death he died, let us in that behold with what manner of love he loved us. The barbarous and abusive treatment they gave him, in which their mind and evil intent competed which should excel. As if death, so great a death, were not bad enough, they contrived to add to the bitterness and terror of it by the drink they provided for him before he was nailed to the cross. It was usual to have a cup of spiced wine for those to drink of that were to be put to death according to Solomon's directions, Proverbs 31, 6 and 7. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish. But with that cup which Christ was to drink of, they mangled vinegar and gall to make it sour and bitter. They signified the sin of man, which is a root of bitterness, bearing gall and wormwood. Deuteronomy 29:18. The sinner perhaps rolled it under his tongue as a sweet morsel, but to God it is grapes of gall. Deuteronomy 32:32. It was to the Lord Jesus, when he bare our sins. And sooner or later, it will be so to the sinner himself. Bitterness at the latter end, more bitter than death. Ecclesiastes 7:26. It signified the wrath of God, that cup which his father put into his hand, a bitter cup indeed, like the bitter water which caused the curse. Numbers 5:18. This drink they offered him, as was literally foretold, Psalm 69:21. And he tasted thereof, and so had the worst of it, took the bitter taste into his mouth, and let no bitter cup go by him untasted, when he was making atonement for all our sinful tasting of forbidden fruit. Now he was tasting death in its full bitterness. He would not drink it, because he would not have the best of it, would have nothing like an opiate to lessen his sense of pain. For he would die so as to feel himself die, because he had so much work to do as our high priest in his suffering work. By the dividing of his garments, when they nailed him to the cross, they stripped him of his garments, at least his upper garments. For his sin work, we were made naked to our shame, and thus he purchased for us white raiment to cover us. If we be at any time stripped of our comforts for Christ, let us bear it patiently. He was stripped for us. Enemies may strip us of our clothes, but cannot strip us of our best comforts, cannot take from us the garments of praise. The clothes of those that are executed are the executioner's feet. Four soldiers were employed in crucifying Christ, and they much, each of them, have a share. His upper garment, if it were divided, would be of no use to any of them, and therefore they agreed to cast lots for it. Some think that the garment was so fine and rich that it was worth contending for, but that agreed not with the poverty Christ appeared in. Perhaps they had heard of those that had been cured by touching the hem of his garment, and they thought it valuable for some magic virtue in it. They hoped to get money off his friends for such a sacred relic, because in ridicule they would seem to put a value upon it as a royal clothing, or it was for diversion to pass away the time while they waited for his death. They would play his game at dice for the clothes, but whatever they design, the word of God is herein accomplished in that famous psalm, the first words of which Christ made use of upon the cross. It was said, they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Psalm 22:18. This was never true of David, but looks primarily at Christ, of whom David in spirit spoke. Then in the stumbling block of this part of the cross ceased, for it appears to have been by the established counsel and foreknowledge of God. Christ stripped himself of his glories to divide them among us. Federal Drug Administration proposes limiting nicotine in cigarettes and other tobacco products. The level of nicotine would be capped at 0.7 milligrams per gram by Mary Kikatos, January 15, 2025. The Food and Drug Administration said it will request input via public comment and from the FDA's Tobacco Products Scientific Advisory Committee. The proposed rule does not ban the sale of cigarettes or other tobacco products, but rather caps the nicotine level at 0.7 milligrams per gram of tobacco, citing the average amount of nicotine in the top 100 cigarette brands in 2017 was 17.2 milligrams per gram. The proposed Food and Drug Administration rule would apply to cigarettes, cigarette tobacco, roll your own tobacco, most cigars, and pipe tobacco. It would not extend to electronic cigarettes, nicotine pouches, water pick tobacco, smokeless tobacco, or premium cigars, said the Food and Drug Administration. Nicotine, the primary chemical in cigarettes, is highly addictive, and the developing minds of adolescents may be especially vulnerable. The combustible products after lighting a cigarette are toxic, posing a danger to anyone who uses it, including pregnant people and developing fetuses, the Food and Drug Administration and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is Psalm 23. The book of Psalms is a great collection of songs and prayers that expresses the heart and soul of humanity. Psalm 23 specifically has been called the best known of the Psalms for its universal theme of trust in God. People can be unfair and friends may desert you, but we can trust God. Knowing God intimately drives away doubt, fear, and loneliness. Do you have a difficult time believing God truly loves you? If so, listen to Psalm 23 to help you understand the special relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In it, we learn not only about God's nature, but also about his leadership. David describes the Lord as a shepherd, and both Old and New Testaments use the term shepherd to illustrate leadership. The word communicates the love, nurture, intimacy, and spiritual care a godly leader provides. It involves both the rod of correction and the staff of direction. Psalm 23 describes the ultimate shepherd performing several functions. The shepherd provides in verse 1. The shepherd gives rest in verse 2. The shepherd leads, renews, restores, guides, and directs in verse 3. The shepherd protects, corrects, and comforts in verse 4. The shepherd feeds and anoints in verse 5. And the shepherd loves and furnishes shepherd and shelter in verse 6. Psalm 23 also reminds us of what God alone can control and what we can control. It distinguishes between problems, things we can do something about, and facts, things we can do nothing about. It defines God as our provision, peace, pardon, preparation, praise, and paradise. We should follow God and obey his commands. He is our only hope for eternal life and security. And we know that a living God can bring life to a dead thing, even if it's a valley of dry bones. Will you allow God to be your shepherd? Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have